Richland Center boys basketball coach Brian Poles is our guest. Brian, you're getting ready for a big tournament going out of state for the Hornets here coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this is the second year that we're playing in Winona State's Holiday Tournament. It's near and dear to me. That's where I went to school. I got to play basketball there, so we get to play two games. It's a holiday tournament, but it's not necessarily a bracketed. We're assigned two games. On Friday, tomorrow, we play Durand, Arkansas. And so we've been trying to set this game up for a few years now. A good friend of mine and former college teammate, Justin Rudetsky, is the coach at Durand. And so we've been trying to figure out how we can get our teams to play against each other. So we play them tomorrow. That's going to be just a fun time for both of us to go against each other. And then on Saturday morning, we play Lewiston Altura, which is a small co-op just outside of Winona in Minnesota. I think one of the fun things, besides the fact we get to go to Winona State, play on the big court, and it's a great facility, is they play Minnesota rules, which includes a shot clock. And so that's a fun experience for the kids to just play under that type of setting. So we're looking forward to the 2 days coming up.
I recall when you played them, and you may not have been the head coach, but played Coach Kanothi's team.
Yeah, St. Charles,
right. At just a game a few years ago. But you played by Minnesota rules at that time, and I think I don't know that we were into the 18-minute halves at that point when they played the first time,
right.
Anyway. So it does take a little getting used to, doesn't it?
It is. Actually, we played it last year when we were up at Winona, and I found that it really kind of helped offensively, just getting into the flow. You knew you had a clock, and so you were really more efficient with ball movement, just trying to work the basketball to get that shot. And I don't believe in two games we ever really ran into an issue of running out of time, or we're a high school team, so bad shots happen now and again. But it wasn't because of the shot clock. It actually, I thought, helped us play a little bit more efficiently.
I think it's coming to Wisconsin, the shot clock, don't you?
It is, and they've talked about it a number of times over the years. It was close maybe a handful of years ago going through, but I think it's just an eventuality. They've got to figure out the logistics of, there is technology. You have to get into every high school gym in the state. You have to have somebody trained up on how to run the shot clock. But so many of the states around us play with it. It is just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think the expense is the big thing, determining mm-hmm. how to not only get the software and the equipment, but yeah, you're going to have an extra person at every game.
Yeah, someone has to, be completely locked in on when to reset that shot clock. So there's an extra aspect, and like you said, an expense that goes along with it that every district would have to address.
Would you ever like to go back to quarters again?
I think getting the shot clock would be step one. I didn't mind going from quarters to halves. I am in favor of the shot clock. I do hope that we see that. I think it promotes skill development. The strategy is a little bit different. Having a really smart, savvy, experienced point guard that, when you get down to 8-10 seconds in the shot clock, they know what to do. They're able to get you into what you need to get into. So there is a little bit different strategy. But as far as, looking at the quarters versus the halves, I'll take the shot clock first.
Some things, and as a broadcaster, I notice about the time when we used to have the end of a quarter, so about 9 minutes into the half, mm-hmm. sometimes games can get a little bit sloppy, and that's the only thing that I wish sometimes maybe they would have, maybe even a media timeout. Like at 9 minutes, it's like, okay, this is, stop for a little bit and take our breath.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that, when you add in two more opportunities for just end of quarter situations, you do play that last minute and a half a little bit differently versus, if it's all just flowing through one half. You're right. There are times when, it does get a little sloppy back and forth, but, then I would argue that's incumbent upon me as the coach to try to see that and give the kids a break using the timeouts. But the built-in quarter break and just the end of quarter situation, situations does add a little bit more strategy to it.
Let's talk about, because we're going to transition back into the alumni again, but how the game has changed a little bit, you know, since your playing days, obviously. It's changed quite a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, then you can go back to look at, you know, 70s and 80s, the once the three-point line came in the mid to late 80s in Wisconsin, you know, we were just talking about before, there's more games. The games are longer than what they have been. The kids have so much more access to off-season development, whether that's AAU or all of these, you know, personal coaches. So I think the individual skill level, when you look at the players that the state of Wisconsin is producing every year, there's kids that come out of the state and go on to play, you know, Division I basketball. There's a number that play in the NBA. So the game of basketball is continuing to improve to be in my position coaching where I got to play. It's just so much fun to be able to go into the gym every day and work with the kids see the development because, you know, you're looking at it from when you start to see them even in fourth grade at where I sit in my chair, and to see them come through grade school and when they join you as a freshman, it's so much fun to see the progress.
I think some of the memories I have through the years, you know, you've obviously got the standouts, but the memories I have of some of the players that became big contributors, you know, maybe as a freshman, sophomore, you know, but they worked and built those skills up and really contributed to the program in later years.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, another thing about coaching that is so rewarding. Like you said, you have the standouts, you know, there's always going to be, every team has a couple of guys that get relied upon to do the majority of the scoring. But that's the beauty of team sports, is just it's such a great lesson for a life. I say this every year to parents and to the kids, and that's a big part of why I do it, because it was such an influence on my life to be able to, you know, learn those lessons. And then you see a kid maybe who came in as a freshman. I think of Alex Johnson comes to mind. You know, someone who as a freshman, He wasn't quite there yet. He just wasn't able to help the team. And then by the time he was done as a senior, he led the league in scoring and you know was a huge contributor. So the work ethic, the resiliency, the teamwork, the time you put into it, it's all just I love being part of it.
Life lessons, that's for sure. Lots of athletes are specializing now too, aren't they?
I think, you know, part of that is what I described. Obviously, the bigger school you go to, that's going to be more of an issue. You know, if you have, 500 kids in a class, it's going to be a lot harder to play three sports. I think that's one thing I love about our school, our community. We're still at that size where you can play three sports throughout the year and have a great experience. So schools our size and smaller, man, I just love that. I love that for my kids growing up. I love it for the kids that we have. Most everybody that plays for us right now are in multiple sports.
Yes.
And I think that's just so important.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of optimism for this year's Hornets.
Yeah, we're definitely taking a step forward. We're 3-3 right now. You know, we had a couple of really tough non-conference games. We've scheduled some tougher non-conference games this year. And so we're going to start getting into the conference in earnest after the break. For us, you know, we're still young at the point guard position. Jaden Shep's just a sophomore, but he's really made some good strides from last year to this year. We've got some size. We're actually one of the biggest teams in the area. 6'7", 6'6", 6'5". You don't see that very often. That really changes things, what you can do defensively. So we're looking forward to just getting into the conference, showing everybody our improvement. And yeah, our win total is going to go up definitely. Where we land, I think, is going to be just, I think, determined by how consistent we can become.
So let's look back a little bit. So the alumni game coming up on January 4th. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing a lot of lies will be told that day too, right?
Usually there are, yeah. I think we have We have two alumni back from the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. I know Bob Beggs is one of them. And so then we try to spread them out. The four teams. This is me selfishly. I don't want to play against all the 20-year-olds myself. I want to have a few of them on my team. So then there's a number from the 90s. I think we've got Coach Johnson talked into playing. One classmate of mine will be back. And then it's really just a nice mix of kids from all throughout the 2000s. So it's going to be just a real fun morning.
What time does it start on the 4th?
We're going to start at 8 o'clock. We've got the four teams, so we're just going to play, winners play winners, losers play the losers. So each team will play two games. We will put it up on YouTube. So if you want to come, we'll have the bleachers out. I've always been surprised the last couple of years how many people from the community have come to watch. It's been really fun. And then we'll have it on YouTube as well. So we'll have start at 8. We'll wrap up around noon. And then we roll right into our high school game. And so we host Kenosha Indian Trail that Saturday afternoon. Our JV will start at 1:30 and varsity will get going right after that.
You've done that format before. I remember a couple of years ago. Turned out to be a really good game as well against them.
It was. And, Kenosha, people ask me, how did you get them on your schedule? Why do you have them on your schedule? And so 3 years ago, we were looking to get a 24th game. And so we put a message out on various boards, whether it was through the WIA or the athletic director's message board. And Kenosha Indian Trail reached out, I've gotten to know their coach a little bit now. They said, we'd be willing to come over. And I said, okay, we'll reciprocate. And we went there last year. And in talking to him, we decided, okay, let's keep doing it. So this is the third year in a row. It's interesting. I mean, Kenosha Indian Trail is one of the largest high schools in the state of Wisconsin. And so for them to come here and then us to go there last year, it was just a great experience. The kids get to see, they came here 2 years ago and were just, they were so complimentary of how welcoming we were, how great our facility was. I think, you come from Kenosha, Milwaukee, whatever, you come out to the country and you see this great gym and great facility. They were all really, really nice kids, very, very polite, well-behaved. And then we had the same experience. We went there last year on a Saturday, and obviously their facility is gorgeous, is beautiful. So it was fun to play there. So it's turning into really a great relationship.
I remember when they were here a couple of years ago, one of the athletes, I was talking to their coach, and one of the athletes, they couldn't get over, they saw ice shanties when they were coming up Highway 14. Yeah. It's not something they're accustomed to. What are those houses doing on the ice?
Exactly. Yeah. So they all got to experience just, rural Wisconsin. So it's really fun. They're a great group. Their coach is a really great guy.
Awesome. And you mentioned, Brian, this is a fundraiser. How do you raise money and what do you look for?
Yeah, we've gone around the community and asked for sponsorships from area businesses. And we've had just a great response. There's been so many businesses that have been generous. They sponsor some t-shirts for the alumni, and that sponsorship will then go into to our basketball account. One of the big things we are fundraising for right now is coming up next year is our cycle to get new uniforms. And so we're going to subsidize that purchase of uniforms. And we do that every 5 or 6 years or so. And so it's our cycle. We'll also use the money for summer events, basketballs, just anything that we as a program need to support the kids is what we use the money for. So we're really appreciative of the response from the local businesses.
That's great. Schools can use the support, can't they?
Exactly. And I also want to mention our booster club does a really fantastic job of fundraising and supporting each of the individual sports. And fundraising is one of those things that that's just our reality. We have to do it. I try to keep it to a minimum. I find that this is a really great avenue where we're bringing in our alumni. They're helping us out as well by just paying a nominal fee to play in the game. And so we'll use these proceeds, and it'll go a long way for us. So we'll be able to get into summer tournaments and not have the kids have to pay that out of pocket and just provide more access for those types of things.
Will you be doing some silent auctions that day?
We do plan a silent auction as well. I know we have a number of items we'll have set up right away Saturday morning. We'll keep those silent auctions open through the varsity basketball game that afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's some unique items on there from time to time that you get.
Yeah, we've had some really great items. We're fortunate enough. Brady Ewing has provided some things in past years. I think we might have a one or two from him this year. But it's always, again, area businesses and then family members from our players come up with just really, really great items. We're fortunate.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Brady today, by the way.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Brady. Well, basketball, certainly, it's a hot topic right now. You think the Badgers are doing all right, Brian? And I think leading the nation in free throw percentage. That's pretty outstanding, isn't it?
I wish our high school team could tap into that. Free throws are so underrated. That's amazing. I didn't know that stat. They're off to a great start. It's always interesting, and I'm sure you see this. You come into a season and they're not very heralded, and then they start off, 10-0, and they show everybody that Coach Gard can coach, and they've got good players. So, just being a basketball fan that I am, being so busy, I don't get to watch a ton of their games. I'm a huge Bucks fan too. I love the NBA, so all things basketball, I'm all for.
Well, certainly, you were a great free throw shooter in high school. I presume in college as well, but you had the school record. Probably still do for a percentage during the season. Don't you?
It's one of those things where, and I don't know why or where, but always was a focus of mine. I remember growing up, getting into every free throw contest I could. Our Knights of Columbus every year always had a free throw contest. And so you'd go to the local one and I would practice for it. And that's, that's how I became a good free throw shooter. And so, I even won state twice for the free throw contest. So it was always a fun experience. It was great simulating that pressure in those. And you don't see them very, very much anymore. The free throw contests have kind of died off. And, it is a lost art, because if you can shoot at a high school level, and we talk about this with our kids, even in the mid-60s, you want to get to 70% as a team. But and on the high school level, that's a big ask. So if you have somebody that shoots 80, 85%, you have such an advantage at the end of games. If you're up and they've got a foul and you're in the bonus and you have somebody that you can put it in their hands and they can make that percentage, that's a game changer.
Now the Badgers, I think, are at 85% as a team.
That's incredible.
Pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a secret to good free throw shooting? I mean, what was your secret?
Repetition, for sure. You've got to just, it comes down to, you have to have a routine. So whatever that is, dribble the ball twice, spin it. And more simple in my opinion is better. You don't want to, you've seen, I'll take Giannis as an example over the years. His routine has changed so many times, and it's a little long for my liking, but keep it simple. Take a deep breath, focus on the front of that rim, and just shoot a bunch.
There are teams, and I see so many games where it could be turned around. I recently saw a local team go 0-15 at the line before they made one.
Wow.
And you think about, even if you hit half of those,
exactly,
you're back in the ball game.
And we've had already in our six games, our free throw shooting has been something like that. I think that Baraboo game when we played at Fiserv, 9 of 23 from the foul line, and you're looking at a two possession game coming down the stretch. Even if you make three or four more of those, you're right there. It's just, it's that important. And so you do have to take the time to work on it in practice. And we do. But really it's about the kids just taking the time to get the repetitions.
Do you still do the wind sprint drill where you shoot for wind sprints or not?
From time to time, it's interesting. And our coaches, we talk about this. I try not to do, a lot of arbitrary running in practice. You know, that's kind of I did it in college. I know what it's all about. But you try to put your drills together where they're getting that conditioning within practice. But we will. We'll do those. You line everybody up. Everybody gets one free throw. You make it. You don't have to run. You miss it. Everybody's mm-hmm. got to run. It's a common one. It's not a popular one. But it's one that we pull out every once in a while.
Yeah. A few times I was everybody's best friend. A few times I was the goat.
Exactly.
You know, if you're shooting for six wind sprints or something, and it doesn't go well.
It is fun to say, okay, you guys pick one, pick your representative, pick one. He's going to shoot. He's got to make two. If he makes two, practice is over. And it's always interesting who comes forward to take those shots. So it's just a fun part of practice.
You're going to make the alumni shoot free throws, are you?
Oh, we should. Yeah. No, that's not on the plan. I think we're just going to try to make sure that we have an injury-free day. That's what we're looking forward to. There are going to be a lot of young guys, and those guys are going to be the ones that are doing most of the running up and down. Hopefully, I can just kind of blend in.
Sure. I've only been in like one of those, and our friend Tracy Krieger used to organize those at the campus, and he lured me there by mentioning all these guys that were older than me, and I got there and they were all, you know, intramural campus players, you know, so that's a little different when they got an extra step on you, you know. So.
Exactly. I still try to play as much as I can, but now that the kids are, you know, 25 and I'm 46, that math doesn't work out very well anymore.
I know. You hold your own, though. I see your name in the men's league results once in a while. You must still be able to shoot the three.
If they don't guard me, I can make a shot now and then.
Well, we appreciate you coming and taking the time to talk to us today, Brian.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Good luck in Minnesota this weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm, yep. And with the alumni game as well.
Okay, so, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Brian Pohl is joining us here on WRCO Radio, Vice President of Clinic Services at the hospital. In the second half, we talked a little basketball, one of my favorite topics. We'll be back with more coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to members of the Grace Board on Friday.